There are many clubs synonymous with comedy. The Improv, the Comedy Store, Laughing Skull here in Atlanta. And now perhaps we can add Relapse to the list. Los Angeles-based stand-up Rory Scovel chose the Sketch and Improv Theater as the setting for his first special for Netflix. It's called Rory Scovel Tries Stand-Up for the First Time. And producer Mike John spoke with him over the phone about the special and about shooting it here in Atlanta.
So I had to pause your special at one point. And when you do that on Netflix, this little capsule description pops up along with the title. And yours read, comedian Rory Scovel storms the stage in Atlanta where he shares unfocused thoughts about things that mystify him. Now, I wanted to give you a chance to weigh in or push back. Do you feel like your style of comedy is unfocused?
We probably had to sign off on that description. So I think it's focused and unfocused. I think anything that I've written and really worked on has taken a great deal of concentration and effort and pain and focus to get it to where it is. And then I think I like to fill in the cracks with a lack of focus on making sure my product is pristine or perfect. I think those little in-between spaces are my favorite spaces to play in during any given show.
You know what I mean? How does this microphone even work? None of us know. None of us know. None of us have ever known. Our entire life since we were kids, we're like, that's the voice stick boom machine. If someone asked me, how do you think it works? I'd be like, well, I guess the sound kind of drifts over the metal cage. Then the metal cage is like, get on here! Then it just goes through the sound hose. That's my best guess. I'm 36.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of like riffing and commenting on the show as it's happening that you inject into the set that it feels like it's both like off the cuff, but it also feels like that's something that you've been working on for a while.
Yeah, I think it's kind of just been my the style that I just kind of fell into. I liked commenting on things and then commenting on comments. And I think it's more a matter of just trying to mine any area where there could be something to play with or a joke to make or something that's silly. It doesn't necessarily work every time, but yeah, it's and when it doesn't, it's pretty painful, and you either kind of grow a thicker skin to not really care if it works or not. But yeah, there are sometimes when, you know, I'll comment on a comment, and to me it is the funniest moment of the show, and it's probably the one thing everyone would vote as a bombing moment.
Oh, no guy, you should meet over here. You got that laugh, this guy's got this laugh. Would you watch it if this was my set? Anyways, what else is going on? Anyways, you ever had a meatball sub?
So before this special came out, one place that folks may have seen you before is on Conan. You did this show. He was broadcasting from the Apollo Theater late last year. The set was memorable for you literally clambering out into the crowd, doing most of your set from the middle of the house, standing on top of seats.
This election, folks, is about inspiration. Let me get down here with you guys. This election, shut up! I have a limited amount of time.
One, okay, that was hilarious. Two,
thank you.
Can you talk about how you developed your style of kind of that sort of belligerent crowd work?
When I started doing stand-up, I started taking improv classes in D.C. at the Washington Improv Theater. I started taking classes there, and I started doing open mics for stand-up around town. And I think maybe that just those foundations of improv, those few notes that you can take to learn how to kind of stay calm and not try so hard to be funny, I think that sort of cultivates a level of calm. And I think that level of calm is kind of what gives me any kind of confidence to interact with the crowd and kind of, you know, go off the script of sorts, I guess. I love it. I truly love it because I like feeling that the audience is also a part of the show.
You recorded this special in the months before the 2016 election.
Yeah.
And the set actually includes some of the election material that you heard that we heard on Conan.
I'm going to do a couple election type jokes for y'all if that's I know people, you're watching, wherever you're watching this, whenever it is, you're like, but wait, the election's already happened. We already know the results. Guess what? Everybody in this room, we don't know. So look at us. Look how happy we used to be.
Why is it that you think that that material holds up even now, months, you know, months into the Trump administration?
Giving my own personal guess at it, I would say maybe just because this administration is kind of so shocking and in our minds at all times that it, anything that happened in, you know, November and election night and the week leading up to election and how people felt, it's still so ingrained in our minds as, you know, not for everybody, you know, there's a lot of us who were shocked by it and there's a lot of people who are super happy about it. And it kind of, whichever fence you're on, it's so in the news all the time that, that maybe that's what makes it still doable jokes.
So Rory Scovel tries stand-up for the first time, was shot here in Atlanta at the Relapse Theater. Now, you're not from Atlanta, but I get the sense that talking to some of the comedians that are from this scene, that they've sort of claimed you as one of their own. Can you talk about your ties to Atlanta and about why you shot at Relapse?
Well, I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, so I think when you kind of think about like bigger comedy markets in the South, Atlanta just kind of seems to be the closest sort of hub to where I grew up. Not that that's where I started stand up, but I think Atlanta kind of became that first city in the South that had a really big comedy scene. You know, Greenville kind of grew one and Atlanta grew one. And so I just feel a connection to the two. Atlanta specifically, because when I went and performed there several years ago, I went and performed at the Relapse Theater after my shows at another venue on their famous 1 a.m. shows that mm-hmm. they used to have. And it just still to this day, one of them in particular, in my mind, is the greatest show I've ever done. There was something about that night. And all the times following that I performed at the Relapse, there was just kind of this special energy in the room, and like the improv crowd and the stand-up crowd, they just kind of, they didn't look at me as though I was a comic just coming to town to perform. They really kind of embraced me as though I was a part of their scene and that I was a part of their family. And it just immediately felt, you know, immediate friendships with a lot of those comics, which isn't absurd, but it isn't a normal thing in a lot of scenes, you know, being a visiting comic and just kind of feeling like your family, you know. It's, and that Atlanta scene specifically, you know, it's not just me. A lot of comics, if you talk to, they would tell you, how much love they feel every time they go to Atlanta, and how the Relapse makes them feel like they're at home and that this is their home, and how all those comics make them feel that same way. It's, I think because of that, shooting a special in my mind is just like, I got to do something at Relapse. That place is just a special home for me.
So the framing device for the special is this sort of fantasy of you as this swaggering booze and cocaine fueled superstar comedian.
Right.
Before that cuts to, you know, you very kind of timidly taking the stage. It kind of reminded me of the big, edgy rock and roll style comedy specials that I grew up watching in the 80s and 90s. Like, immediately think of like Bill Hicks or somebody like that.
Right.
Can you talk about where you're coming from, like influence wise?
I try to keep it on a spectrum, I guess, of like Steve Martin and Bill Hicks. I really love. Political and social commentary that's really smart and interesting and has a great point. I mean, when you watch someone like Doug Stanhope or Jim Jeffries, like I'm so drawn specifically to them because I feel like they bring up some incredible points about some very tough stuff to talk about, and they craft a beautiful joke out of it. I can't necessarily do what those guys do, but I try to keep in mind what it is that what they actually do, and I try to somehow make it fall into something that's really silly too.
Well, Rory Scovel, thank you so much for talking to us.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the interview. Thank you very much. And thanks for watching the special.
Oh, of course.
Comedian Rory Scovel's new Netflix special, Rory Scovel Tries Stand-Up for the First Time, is available now.